Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 to 21 is our scripture text. By prayer and fasting. These are the last words of verse 21. This is the title of our sermon. When we begin our Christian life, we begin it by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection 3 days later. And we continue in faith to trust God daily to lead us in this life's journey by that resurrection power, that spirit of holiness that enables us to overcome sin and to have joy and peace in our hearts. This joy and peace is precious. Precious in a world that is filled with misery and distress and affliction. The world that is overwhelmed by sin, by Satan, and by ungodliness. And we are on that journey, and that we are going to reach our final heavenly home one day. But we are still on this journey. This is a journey of faith, the life of faith, the life of our total dependence upon the God who bought us. This is a blessed life where the power of God flows through our lives, where we have power with God and power with men. How do we cultivate such a blessed life? I submit to you that it is by prayer and the word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And as our text tells us, in times of need for greater spiritual strength, even by fasting. This word fasting is not found in the modern versions of the Bible, but in the King James Bible, in the received text, the word fasting is there. What is fasting? Fasting is a valuable aspect of Christian living in forging a closer walk with God. What do? We lay aside the common necessity of food and drink for a short season of time in order to not to be distracted, to spend time purposefully, uninterrupted, in communion with God, in prayer and the study of his word. There are divine blessings from fasting. When we were studying the book of Daniel in our prayer meeting, we saw in chapter 9 how he needed to understand the will of God for his people after the 70 years of captivity. They were in Babylon for the greater part of 70 years, 69th year. And what next for the people of God? He knew from the prophecy of Jeremiah that they would be in captivity for 70 years. And so he spent time in prayer with the Lord. Daniel 9 verse 3 says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Our Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount said that the secret of true fasting is to fast secretly. It is not an act. It is not so much the act of fasting, but the spirit of fasting that Jesus wants to teach us. Jesus is teaching us that secret fasting is pleasing to God, and God would bestow upon us the blessing, his blessing for our consecration. And As you study and look at the lives of God's people in the Bible through church history, you will find that true vitality comes when men and women of God spend time seriously in earnest with God. God's power came upon them. And so if you are looking and seeking to lead a healthy Christian life, you'll find that there are many temptations to draw you away from God. And at times, we just have to quieten ourselves, bring ourselves to a quiet place where we can spend time in devotion to our God. Our text tells us that the disciples were spiritually weak because they could not cast out the devil that came upon the little boy. How is your Christian life? How is your service for the Lord? Is it a life that is flowing with power and unction? Or is it like the disciples who failed to help the boy? Jesus had given them the authority to cast out devils, to heal the sick. Why is it that they failed? You realize that this was a training phase for the disciples. Whilst the master was still with them, you see that through this incident, they would be made to see how their service for the Lord can be crippled if they are not vigilant to keep their spiritual vitality and spiritual health. And that's something that we want to think about in this passage. Their spiritual life have become stagnated or retarded, as it were. So we ask you, how are you growing? Are you experiencing the power of dependence upon God in your life? Two thoughts for your consideration from our text. When spiritual life wanes, verse 14 to 16, and when unbelief sets in, verse 17 to 21. The scene opens before us with Jesus coming down from the mount after his transfiguration, with the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him. There were 12 disciples with him. 9 of them he left behind. And so the 4 came, or Jesus with the 3, to join with the 9. So this is the scene that is before us as we consider this first thought. When spiritual life wanes, verse 14 says, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. He's mentally out of control. His mind is deranged. The word there literally means he is moonstruck. The word lunatic comes from the word luna, or the moon. There's this ancient belief that mental illness or madness is caused by the influence of the moon and the tides. And so this is the word that is described here of this boy who has lost control of his motor skills. And he's suffering greatly. Our text tells us that he is sore vexed. He's in great distress. And he's oftentimes falling into the fire and into the water. Here you see that he's in great physical danger. And so he was brought to the disciples. But they could not cure him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 is a parallel account. And it tells us that when they came, they were surrounded by a multitude. And they were disputing. The scribes were also there. And when the disciples could not heal the man, the scribes came and said, look at you. Did you not claim that your master is the living God? What happened? How come he cannot save? Or how come you cannot heal? Were you not given the authority? So all this commotion is going on, and there in that corner, you imagine, there was this broken-hearted man. His son, Mark's gospel tells us that Luke's gospel tells us that that is his only son. And he's in trouble. Greatly distressed. Mark's gospel tells us that he's dumbstruck and he's deaf. Great torment. It describes here that he was foaming and he was bruising himself. He was hurting himself deliberately. And so for a father to see the plight of his only son must be an unbearable scene. And so this is what is confronting us here. And the problem here is that the disciples could not heal the boy. They have given up their all to follow Jesus. How is it that that was not enough? How is it that they did not have the power in that critical moment to relieve the distress of that family? So the man came seeking Jesus, kneeling before him, pleading with Jesus to have compassion on his son, to restore him to health. We see in Matthew chapter 10 how the disciples were given power to heal all manner of diseases. You turn there to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says here, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power." Take note of this word. This word means authority. Right? The authority to command the evil spirit that he would get out of the man. So here we are speaking about real power. The one who is stronger will reign. Right? And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And so the disciples, from that time onward, began exercising this authority. Okay? And when they did so, they had power over the enemy. You turn again to another text in Luke chapter 10. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. It tells us the result of those acts that they did in the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 17. It says here, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you power." And that's the word that is given there, the authority. Okay. On serpents, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And all power, and over all the power of the enemy. The power in the next word there is a different word. Right? It speaks about the dynamic power of God working itself out. And so you see here that the disciples were given that authority. What do you mean by authority? Last Wednesday or Thursday night, I was doing trekking in a nearby block here in Bukit Panjang. And as you go to the blocks, you would notice in the front door of many of the houses that there would be this talisman that is placed visibly and carefully right in front of the door. And you would see a Chinese word written there, the word ling, which means authority. Okay? And to signify that that home is under the protection of this authority. Okay. And you will see here a wrestling going on, a warfare going on. Who is stronger? Right, the one who is stronger would exercise that authority, right, would reign. And so, as you look at it, we were there giving out tracts. Okay? And we know that these families were under bondage, under the control many times of demons. You know, they were having this worship that is going on at 12 o'clock. So many of the houses were preparing for worship. The house doors were open, the tables were filled, incense everywhere. So you go unit after unit, you'll be able to see all this happening. Right? And for us, when we go out, what do? We preach the gospel. And we pray for them. And perhaps we even fast in secret. That God would give us that power to break that bondage, as it were, to give the tract, that it may go into that home. Today we don't have that power to cast out demons, as it were. But we have the ability to give the gospel, to free those who are in bondage from the bondage of sin. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And this salvation includes deliverance from demonic possession and control. And this is this gospel is powerful, right? When a person confesses his sins and trusts in Jesus Christ, his sins are cleansed, and the evil spirit leaves, and he's a child of God. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells in the person. The Bible says, "Greater is he, the Holy Spirit, that is in you, than he, Satan, that is in the world." 1 John 4:4. And so you see here, I'd like to just let us see in our context here what the disciples were supposed to do. Right, they were there doing the work of God, giving the gospel, like what we are doing here. Then you turn back now to the scene that is before the disciples. Right? We see that Jesus had given them the mandate, given them the authority to do this work. Why is it that they had no power to cast out the demon and to heal the boy? Well, this is the first thought. When spiritual strength wanes, verse 14 to 16. And it leads us to our second thought. When unbelief sets in. Verse 17 says, Jesus answered and told them the reason for their lack of power. Jesus said, "O faithless and perverse generation." The failure of the disciples moved Jesus to address them, to point out to them that their problem is due to their faithlessness. It is an indictment not only on the multitude that was there, that generation of Jews, but more specifically, the disciples. They were supposed to be walking with, or have walked with Jesus all this time and given that authority. How is it that they failed? Jesus attributed it to their faith. And then you see also the scribes and the Pharisees, or the scribes who were there, trying to trap and discredit the Lord and his disciples. Well, this also is a description of this this indictment that Jesus is bringing upon this the people there with him. And Jesus said that they were not only unbelieving, but that they were also perverse. Right? The word there means perverted, corrupt, and depraved. The word there comes from the root word to be twisted, to be bent out of shape. In the Old Testament is the word iniquity. Right? In the Old Testament, there are three words to describe sin. Right? Transgression, sin itself, and iniquity, a bending. Right? It describes an outworking of sin in distorted lifestyle. Iniquity. And so Jesus is saying here that this generation of people, why is it that they do not have faith? Well, their lives are impacted by unbelief and perverseness. There is something going on in their lives that is not right in the sight of God. There was no holiness in their lives. And Jesus, having said that, told them, "How long shall I be with you? I have been with you for so long. You have seen the miracles. You have understood where the source of the power. Why is it that you let that power depart from you?" And Jesus rebuked the devil, and it came out of him. The child was cured, the Bible says, from that very hour, verse 18. His condition was bad, but when they came to Jesus, they were healed. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 43, says, "They were all amazed at the almighty power of God." If you are a parent, you are a teacher, you're a minister of the gospel, you'll find that there are many needs before you. Many people in distress. Many people in trouble. How do you help them? Well, we don't have any power, any strength. We do so by bringing them to Jesus, bringing them to God. We pray for them. We ask God to help them, that they may repent and be converted, and we give to them the gospel. This was the testimony of John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader turned pastor, and we wrote this in our devotional book concerning his life. How, as a young person, as a child, he had a devoted mother. And how mother spent the early years of his life. Mother lived until he was 7 years old. Then mother died. But in that 7 years, mother spent many hours praying for the child, teaching the child. So he recalled, and he said that she would read to me and store in my memory many chapters, portions of scriptures, catechism, hymns, poems. And she said that the mother's desire, looking at his disposition, you know, he would not go out and play with all the other people, all the other boys, but he would want to spend time to study the Word of God together with the mother. And so mother said that this boy is different, and mother had a desire to bring him up with a view to the ministry. And then mother died. And so we see the story how after mother died, as a young man, he became a sailor and he went out to sea, and how he was doing all the things that would be called evil in a young man's life. You name it, he did it. And there was a moment in his life where he was on board a ship and there was a storm that came. And it was a great storm. And he found the Bible, a gospel book. And then he read it. And he said to himself, what if these things are true? What if there is a holy God? And then the storm began to rage even further. And the boat began to sink. And everything was confused. Everywhere was confusion. And it was at this time of his life that he called to his mother's God. He kneeled down and he prayed. And the things that the mother taught him came back into his heart. Well, you see this man pleading for his son, coming to Jesus, to ask Jesus to have mercy. Well, this is what we do when we come to Jesus to pray for our own children. They may not be with us, as it were, but when we seek God for them in prayer, the Lord hears from heaven and delivers. John Newton was mercifully saved through that storm. And from there, he was a changed man. He became not only a good Christian who wanted to live for God, but he became a preacher of the gospel. Very interesting. How the prayer of a mother, many, many years ago, she has gone home to God already, and yet how that prayer was effectual. As you think about it, and you look at the life of the disciples, what were they doing? How is it that they did not have power with God? How is it that God did not heal that boy when they called out to him? Verse 19 to 20 gives us the reason. They asked Jesus after all the commotion, he brought Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of their unbelief, of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And so the disciples wanted to know, why is it that they were spiritually weak? And Jesus pointed out to them, it's because of their unbelief, of their faithlessness. And here Jesus would explain to them that how they can regain that strength. What is faith? Well, faith is the key to success in the Christian life. We begin our life by faith. And we continue in faith. What is this faith? Well, the faith that we are speaking about is to trust in God, to be dependent upon God. Perhaps the disciples have become complacent, as it were. Perhaps they have become discouraged. Right? The three of them were up in the mountain. They were not. They were down there. Well, these are just some surmises. Okay? But you see them losing their spiritual power. And so here, what Jesus is saying to them is not that they need great faith. Right? But if you have faith like that of a mustard seed, that is good enough. You can already move a mountain with it. So Jesus is saying that it is not the amount of faith that you need. But Jesus is saying that there is a need for you to grow and increase in your faith. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seed. But if you commit the seed, the little seed on the ground, you'll find that it would grow to the biggest of all herbs. So what Jesus is saying is that if you would seek God with persistent dependence upon Him, then you would be able to overcome the challenges, the spiritual challenges that is confronting you in life. Whether it is sin, whether it is lust, whether it's that besetting sin, or whether it's that perhaps that particular need of a brethren that you are praying for. Well, we are to keep seeking the Lord, to stand in faith, believing God's power. The Apostle Peter learned a good lesson in spiritual warfare when he said later in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, whom ye resist steadfast in the faith." Watch, it says, "Ye resist steadfast in the faith." What do? We are to stand unmovable as a rock, to stand against the onslaught of the devil, not to flee. James says, "Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." What are we speaking about? How is it that we can gain that faith with God? Andrew Murray, in his book Humility, gives us the answer, I believe. He says, it is man's relationship with God that is of an unceasing dependence. When we spend time with God, when we are dependent upon Him, then we receive power from Him. And He defined humility in this way. He says, humility, the place of entire dependence on God, is from the very nature of things, the first duty and the highest virtue of men, is the root of every virtue. That's why Jesus said in the Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." When man is aware of his inadequacy, then he will seek the Lord. But if he thinks that he is well and he is good, then he will not. The believers were in such a state. And you see here that this is the last miracle that Jesus would wrought in Galilee. The last miracle that would be recorded in the Gospels for us. And there is a very important and serious lesson that the Lord is saying to us, that you need to build your faith, that it may be strong. And how do you do so? Verse 21 is the punchline, and that's the title of our sermon, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting." Verse Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, verse 29, and he said to them, "This kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." So what is it that brings power with God? It is dependence upon Him. Jesus said to the father of the boy, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Mark 9:23. So we want to see and observe that Satan's stronghold, Satan's kingdom, is not pulled down without diligence, without sacrifice, without pains in our part. There are times when we need to spend time with God, to seek the blessing of God. And there are times when we become complacent, just like the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea. They crossed on dry land. They had the faith to go. And then when Moses asked them through God to cross over to the promised land, they did not do so. And God charged them, why is it that you were high in faith, in that sense, willing to follow the Lord, and here they did not? And you know that they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they perished in the wilderness. They could not enter because of their unbelief. And so you find that the life of the Christian, it's a life of faith. Faith in walking with God, in the will of God, according to the will, to the word of God. And if we will not follow and have that faith to stand with God, you'll find that you would be overwhelmed. The spiritual battles before you will fail. And therefore, in order to give us the strength with God and with men, Jesus said to the disciples, you are to spend time in prayer and in fasting. We are all in that battle. Whether it is in our families, for our children, whether it's in the church or in our workplace, we want to realize that we are living in Satan's world. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And therefore, we have to be aware of the kind of a warfare that we are in. And we are to be on guard for our spiritual well-being if we want to be effective as God's children. One pious minister of God had this testimony for your encouragement. I give this as a conclusion. He suggested to periodically set aside a day uninterrupted time with God. He said, a day of fasting is of great assistance to the soul for the better performing of holy duties such as meditation, reading and hearing the word, prayer and examining and judging and reforming a person's self, both because his spirits are better disposed and when he's fasting to serious devotion and the mind being so taken wholly off the thoughts, cares and pleasures of this life that he may be more intent and earnest in seeking of God. So the disciples were a little off track, and he could not do the will of God at that time. When spiritual strength wanes, verse 14 to 16, when unbelief sets in, may we not underestimate the power of the enemy, but be willing to be vigilant, to spend time in prayer and in the word and in fasting, that we may live the life of faith, the life of total dependence upon God. This is a blessed life where the power of God flows through our lives when we have power with God and power with men. May God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to ask that thou would help us to live this Christian life by faith, the faith that would move mountains, The faith that is like the mustard seed that would not stagnate but grow. Oh God, I pray that Thou be very merciful and gracious to help us to be faithful, to grow in our faith, in our knowledge of divine things, that we may be able to live a life of overcoming, a life where Thy peace and joy and Thy power flow through us. O Lord, may Thou give us this life. May Thou help us to seek such a consecrated life through prayer and the word, and even in fasting. O Lord, help us. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.